is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Motivation Monday. Okay, but there's three kinds of watching.
Uh-huh.
There's watching to learn.
Uh-huh.
Watching to understand.
Okay.
Watching to be entertained. You were watching to learn.
Yes, I was.
And
yes,
you were watching to try to understand. So you had the big two of watching.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem. But it's watching to be entertained that is basically a waste of time.
No, it wasn't very entertaining.
Yeah, it's probably boring. But it's not bad to watch. It's not doing anything.
Well, that was my problem, right? I was watching but not doing.
No, you were feeling guilty.
Of course, all these other people are launching their stuff, and I'm like, I need mine to be perfect. I can't launch it yet. I can't do it. Like, I'm not there yet. And so I've decided to give up perfection and to go for it, and it's going to be really, really
Jen,
freaking good.
You are perfect. Okay, so let me give you an example.
I'm not perfect.
Let me give you an example, diehards. In 1973, if you can remember back that far, I was in the imprinted, it wasn't 73, it was 74. I was in the imprinted sportswear business, and we decided to fly to New York City to make sales, because the epicenter of the world. I was living in Florida, and I had a t-shirt factory, or imprinted sportswear factory, and my partner, the great Duke Dalton, and I flew to New York. It was Duke's first time in New York City. Literally. So we get to this room in the Hotel New York, in the New Yorker, I think, or the Americana. And the first thing happens is Duke picks up the phone. I go, "Who the hell are you calling?" He goes, "Room service."
Oh, my goodness.
So he orders up shrimp cocktails and all kinds of stuff because it's in a hotel. Anyway, so the food comes and he picks up the phone and he hands it to me. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You're Mr. Sales Shit. Call somebody."
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. So I remembered that my Aunt Selena's brother worked for Revlon. And so I called Aunt Selena. I said, "Hey, what's your brother's phone number? I need to call him because I want to make a sales call on Revlon." And she goes, "Okay." She gives me his number. I call him up on the phone. I said, "Hey, I'm here in New York City, and I want to call Revlon because we have an idea to make the shirt for Charlie. And I need to have somebody to call." "Okay, fine." He calls me back and gives me the CEO's phone number, Charles Revson. Because he had worked there for like 25 years. He knew everybody. Okay. So I cold called Charles Revson. I said, "Can I come by?" I said, "I have an idea. You know, I was introduced by so-and-so, so-and-so. Can I come by and just talk to you for 5 minutes. He goes, sure. So now I'm at the 49th floor of the General Motors building, and I walk into this place, because you could walk in those days, you could just walk in, and it was like an antique show. Everything in that office was absolutely gorgeous. And this guy comes over, and we introduce ourselves, and I said, look, I have this idea for a t-shirt that says the word Charlie on it, which is your thing, and we give it away with a purchase, like you give away those little things, you know, the little bags or whatever they gave away.
The makeup bags.
Yeah. He goes, I like it. And so he takes me down to this other guy and says, I was just speaking to this young man. I want you to give him a real good listen. Now, when the CEO takes you downstairs to some other guy and says, I want you to listen to him, what do you think the guy does?
He listens.
Dude, he listens.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay. So Revson leaves, and I'm with this guy, and he says, why should I buy your shirt? And he shows me a pile of like 50 shirts behind him. Ooh. So I was prepared, and I took out a piece of cloth, and I said, this represents your shirt. You can have it in any style, any size, any color. You can have it stitched any way. If you want an 18-inch wide medium, you can have 18. If you want 19, you can have 19. You want single stitch, you can have single stitch. And he goes, oh. I said, everybody else, you have to buy their shirt. I'm going to sell you your shirt. And in under 30 minutes, I had an order for $100,000. The great Brandon Steiner. You writing that down?
You know what I love about you, Jeff?
What?
I got to stop you for a second because I was just thinking how grateful I am because I never wanted to get in this camera. And when I came to see you, when I went to visit you down in Charlotte, you're like, Brandon, you're going to have to get in front of this camera. I said, there's no way I could ever do this. He said, I'm telling you, you're not going to just be able to write blogs. And that's good. You got to get in front of the camera. You got to do videos. You got to be more active. What I love about you is, and I think it's a big mistake that a lot of people make, but you didn't, is one thing to tell people what to do, and it's another people to show people what to do.
Oh, I
love
agree.
About you is you do the most important thing, which is the combination of both. Yeah. You sat me down and you actually did two or three videos with me. And then I said, you know something? This is really not that hard. I'm really glad you forced me to do that because if I walk out of your apartment and I hadn't done that, I'm never doing this. And I'm very grateful for you that because, you know, that's time you gave yourself and probably frustrating because I'm not a quick, easy
one. Oh, come on. No,
thank you, by the way. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Brandon Steiner is not just a lovable character. He's a lovable person. When I first was introduced, literally formally introduced, it was at a Harvey McKay event where I was a speaker. And there was a bunch of other people in the room, but it was around this. It was at Brandon's place. And I gave a talk about sales and life and stuff. And in that audience was also Dave Winfield, who is arguably one of the nicest people. Forget athlete. He's one of the nicest people on the planet. Tell me about your experiences with Winfield.
I mean, I started with Dave, and I'm old, but you know, I started with Dave before I even started Steiner, which was in the mid-80s. And you know what I loved about Dave is he was the entrepreneur spirit, definitely not looking to follow any paths, but blaze his own. He was the first athlete to start his own foundation. You think about that.
Wow.
Immediate. He was just, you know, I'd worked with Dave in his restaurant, the Border Cafe. So I was working on marketing schemes. I helped him market one of his books. He was just an outside the box thinker, you know, just always thinking ahead and still is. He now works for the Players Association. He's helping other players kind of with their future and everything.
It's perfect for him. It couldn't be a better gig. But he also battled George Steinbrenner during his time in New York City, and that had to be a diversionary thought process that made his attitude stronger.
I think so. I mean, you learn. I mean, I think it takes two to tango, and dealing with George is not always the easiest thing. But I was with him at that particular time when he was going through all that, so I've heard his side of the story. Mm-hmm. And also had a little relationship with Mr. Steinbrenner to kind of get a little sense of that side of the story. So, you know, it's interesting how that went down. And I would say if Dave looked back on that, I'm not speaking for him, but he would say as tough as that was, he he learned a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of lessons learned there on both sides for both Mr. Steinbrenner and Mr. Winfield.
When I asked him about it, he said, Jeffrey, I can tell you one thing. I learned a lot. And when you're in New York City, and not New York, when you're in New York City, you learn a hell of a lot quicker than any other place on the planet.
I think like one of the things I've learned a lot recently, and we're just going through this with Bernie Williams, who was mad at the Yankees because they didn't redo his contract at the end. Patrick Ewing was mad because the Knicks didn't bring him in as a coach. What I've really learned is that if you really want to kill somebody in a deal, understand that the best deal you can make is when both sides walk away happy and a little bit upset. When you kill somebody on a deal, just remember, life's long. And
it
comes back. Like, people don't forget. And I think what really Dave had to realize, because he really won that negotiation with Steinbrenner. But the problem is he won too big.
Yeah.
And broadcasted it. And then the comeback on that is where the trouble came.
Let's welcome the great Andy Frisella. I need you to throw some wisdom out. There's the one quote of yours that stuck with me. Did you do what you needed to do today? You could have ended it with, did you do what you needed to do? But the word today adds an urgency to it that most people don't understand. You have to do it every day. You just can't do it once a week or once a month.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing that hurts most people is that they don't understand that this is a long game and this is a long effort. You know, like, people get frustrated in fitness. You know, we've talked to fitness. They're like, well, I ate good for a week or I ate good for 2 weeks. Why don't I look like I should be on a magazine? Well, it just takes more time than that. It doesn't mean that you're not doing the right things. You just haven't seen the results. And I think in business, I know in business, if you're going to get frustrated in fitness for taking a long time, business takes exponentially longer for it to work. And so understanding that your efforts today are going to compound later just the same way as an investment would is paramount to becoming whatever it is that you're going to become. Because the truth is, whatever we do today, whatever we're doing today, is going to make us next month or next year. And it doesn't matter if we're doing good or bad things. That's what's going to become of us.
Exactly.
So,
you know, and people say, well, I can't develop habits. Well, you already have fucking habits. They're just not the right habits.
So, exactly. Let me have that
you
beer.
You just don't want to admit they're your habits.
I only drink one beer at the end of the day, but I do it every day.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, and people, they have this ability to negotiate with that little voice in their head that says, hey, today doesn't really matter. You know, it's just one day. It's just one meal. It's just one skip workout. It's just one night out with the guys. But people do that. It's just one every fucking day.
Right.
And then they're pissed about where they end up. Well, dude, that's the life you chose. You chose that.
Right.
And
yeah.
People will sit around and say, oh, well, I'm a victim because I didn't have this or I didn't have that or bullshit. You had it. You just chose something else.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And, you know, I'm not saying don't have a beer or don't do something that isn't productive for your business because you want to, like, you know, go on a little vacation. I'm not one of these guys who says you got to work 27 hours out of 24 hours like it's popular to say right now, because I know that's not true. The truth is that if you do five things a day that are conducive and get you in the right direction of where you want to go, no matter if it's very simple things like send an email to Tom who works here or make this phone call or do this, I'm talking about simple shit. If you just do five things a day, what's that going to take you? It could take you 3 hours. It could take you four hours. You have the rest of the fucking day to do whatever you want. And like, the truth is, for me, as long as it's been that we've been in business, I've never felt like I worked really hard. Like, I've never felt like I had to work hard. I just felt like I did a little bit of shit every day, and it just adds up. And I think, you know, right now we have this generation of people who believe that they have to, they're being told, you know, hustle, fucking grind, all this shit. That's great. You can do that. But the truth of it is, you know, you don't have to be working at 1 o'clock in the morning to get results.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's something that really hurts a lot of people, because they feel like, well, if I can't work from 1 o'clock in the morning or from 6 a.m. to 1 a.m., then I can't make it in business. And that's just not true.
Right.
Dude, I wake up every day at fucking 10 o'clock in the morning and I go to bed at like 11 at night or 12 at night. You know, I don't work exceptionally hard. I'm just consistent. And that's the truth.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.